talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Fella, the scooter.
So if you take the dog days of August and twist them inside out, that's what most of us are living through right now. We're smack dead in the middle of winter, the holidays are over, but let's forget about those howling winds and frigid temperatures outside and turn our thoughts to spring training, July baseball games, and those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. I know it's January, but it's time to get ready for a long and fruitful fantasy baseball season. Many of fantasy baseball leagues have been won with the hard work and preparation you do in the dead of winter. Now remember that...
in baseball, there's a wrong way and a right way.
That's right, Herman Munster. And if you prepare for your fantasy baseball season the wrong way, your lineup is liable to sound something like this.
Catching, Bugs Bunny. Left field, Bugs Bunny. Right field, Bugs Bunny. Pitching, Bugs Bunny. Third base, Bugs Bunny. Center field, Bugs Bunny. First base, Bugs Bunny. Shortstop, Bugs Bunny. Second base, Bugs Bunny.
If I remember correctly, Bugs Bunny actually single-handedly won that game, made a last-ditch catch at the top of the Empire State Building, and robbed the opposing team of a home run. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, just go to YouTube and type in Baseball Bugs, and you'll be treated to a very funny Bugs Bunny cartoon. So with the NFL in the middle of their playoffs, by the way, you can still find some daily games to play on sites like FanDuel and other sites, we now turn our attention to baseball. We're going to start getting ready for the 2015 fantasy baseball season, and we're going to take an in-depth look at the first base position.
Who's on first?
Yes, bud. We're going to tell the listeners who actually should be on first. So sit right back in your favorite easy chair, grab your favorite beverage, because you are listening to the living legend, Joe Gallina. And it's just a fantasy sports show starts right now. Our hearts were warmed with all the baseball stories in the news this week. Focus, of course, was on the Hall of Fame. Now, we can do a whole show on who should be in the Hall, but the controversy this week, at least in the New York area, was the fact that Mike Piazza, former Met and Dodger catcher, didn't get elected. I'm sure all of you know that pitchers Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, and John Smoltz were elected into the Hall, as was second baseman, catcher, outfielder Craig Biggio. Now, I believe that you really have to be careful who you let into the Hall for fear of watering it down. To join all-time greats like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Willie Mays, you have to be a special player who dominated your position for a significant amount of time. I mean, there are certain stats like the 3,000 hit and 500 home run plateaus, which almost guarantee that you're going to get elected to the Hall. This year, Johnson, Martinez, and Smoltz, they were no-brainers. Biggio, nice player. If he hadn't gotten the 3,000 hits, he actually had 3,060 for his career. If he hadn't done that, I would have considered him a borderline candidate. I mean, he had a long, very good career. I mean, he had a lifetime 281 average, which is good but not great. He stole over 414 bases for his career, very good. Basically, he had 20 home run per season power. And yeah, I guess I could see letting him in. But when you go back to Piazza, here's a guy who had 427 career home runs, 396 as a catcher, which is the most for any catcher in MLB history. He finished up with a .308 batting average, which is very good, obviously. Basically, one of the top 10 catchers of all time, and he doesn't get elected. Now, that tells me that the writers who vote people in probably a little wary about his connection to performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, he was never named on the infamous Mitchell Report. He never failed a drug test. But he has this stigma over him. I mean, it's well known that the Dodgers drafted him because Tommy Lasorda was doing Piazza's father a favor, but you can't argue with the results. He did have a great career. In his autobiography, Mike Piazza did admit to using Andro. Now, when he took it, it was legal, and it was you were able to purchase it over the counter, and it wasn't banned by the MLB at the time. But eventually, it was placed on the International Olympic Committee's list of banned substances. That was actually way back in 1997, and it was banned by the NCAA and the NFL. It's basically classified as an anabolic steroid today. It was banned in baseball in 2004, and Mark McGuire, one of the poster children for PED use in baseball, did admit to using it also. So people are going to point to the fact that Piazza's numbers did start to go down after Major League Baseball started vigorously testing for PEDs in after 2003. So was that the only PED Piazza ever took? Who knows? But some people say where there's smoke, there's fire. But I think there's a good chance Piazza is going to eventually get elected to the Hall, but it may take maybe another year or two. That is Aldo Nova, as suggested by one of our listeners. His name is Vito. He listens to the podcast every week. Thanks for listening in. And he brought up a point that Aldo Nova's Life is Just a Fantasy might be a good song to throw into our podcast. Please let us know what you think of the show. I'm on Twitter at Joe Gallina, JoeGallina. And I want to know, especially if you hate the show and why, but it's always good to communicate. Let me know what you think, okay? So we're going to dive right in and get ready for the 2015 fantasy baseball season.
Baseball?
Yes, baseball, Herman. Remember, it's never too soon to start getting ready for the baseball season. So we're going to dive right in and we're going to do a segment on drafting strategies as we get closer to prime fantasy baseball draft time. But until then, I'm going to share the Living Legends Fantasy Baseball Draft Tip of the Day. That's a mouthful to say, right? Now, don't be intimidated by the fact that I'm a living legend. I mean, just like you, I get up every morning, I put on my pants one leg at a time. But where we part ways is that after I'm fully dressed, all I do is win fantasy sports championships, and that's why I'm hosting this podcast and you're not. But back to our fantasy baseball draft tip of the day, I want you to start doing some mock drafts, and I want you to start doing them as soon as possible, if not now, right after the podcast, all right? First of all, they're a lot of fun to do, but they also really give you an opportunity to understand when a particular player or a group of players, like let's say when catchers are going to start coming off the board, you figure out what to target a specific player or a position. And when it's time to do your real draft, you're already familiar with the mechanics of the draft room and the procedure in the draft room, so you're not fumbling around like a Momo. Hey, I played on CBS Sports for years, and they have some really good mock drafts, but I'm sure ESPN, Yahoo, I know for a fact they all do. So I can't stress how important it is to get involved in these as soon as possible. I also love, you know, when you're doing those drafts and there's a chat option there, I love to ask people who are doing the drafts with me who their sleeper picks are. And you end up getting some real great info that way, because you're dealing with people from all across the country, so that they might have some insights into some players that that you might not be aware of, right? And they end up sharing their information with you because people in mock drafts are not worried about you because you're not in their league. So they might just share, you might get a good sleeper or two from them. So no excuses. Once this podcast is over, I want you to look into doing some mock drafts. Some inspirational music. That's some music from the This Week in Baseball theme song. So that's pretty cool. If you remember that show, Mel Allen used to host it years ago. So there's a lot of depth at the first base position again this season. This isn't the tip of the day, but you always want to try to get some power out of at least one of your corner infielder spots, whether it's a third base or first base, okay? First base is interesting this year because there's a couple of guys that were former perennial number one, not number one, but perennial first-round picks, and they're coming off of injury-plagued seasons, and they could be had in later rounds. So if they can make a comeback, they might make an impact on your fantasy lineup. So we're going to talk about them in a few minutes, but we're going to break down our analysis into platinum candidates. These are the elite guys, the can't-miss guys, and we're going to follow that with our gold, silver, and bronze candidates. That's right. I guess you could call those guys the good, the bad, and the ugly. So to me, the best fantasy first baseman for 2015 is, drumroll please, Paul Goldschmidt. Congratulations, Paul Goldschmidt. You have won nothing. But hey, I know Miguel Cabrera is still awesome, but I had to make a choice, and I made it. I stick my neck out. I stand by my decision. Many of you are familiar with that widespread belief that a lot of baseball players don't reach their true potential until they're approximately 27 years old. It's kind of a myth But there is an uncanny history of baseball players who have had their breakout seasons at the age of 27. And guess what? Paul Goldschmidt, he's 27 years old. And even if he was 25 years old or 29 years old, based on what he gives you at this stage of the game, I think I would still consider him the number one overall first baseman of our platinum section, just number one overall for us, right? He came up to the majors in 2011. And this is his fourth full major league season, and he's been getting better every year. His season last year was cut short by 2 months. He fractured his left hand, but he was on pace to have another awesome season. Basically, he's a 290 to 300 hitter with 30-plus home run power. And by the way, last season he led the major leagues in average fly ball distance. So if you take the measure of the average of how far his fly balls travel, it was 315 feet, by the way. He leads the majors in that category, at least for last year. And that's a good gauge for just how much power this guy has. He's going to drive in 100 runs for you, and you could expect him to steal about 15 bases for you, which is an awesome bonus. I mean, what first baseman is going to steal bases for you, right? But if you could add a player or two to your fantasy lineup who do the extraordinary, you're going to have a very nice team. So, Paul Goldschmidt, I want to congratulate you. He's a first-round pick, probably a top-six pick in a 12-team league. So who's number two on our list of platinum first basemen? Well, you could even call him a co-number one, but no. Goldschmidt was number one, okay? All right, there. The number two guy is Miguel Cabrera. He was fighting off some lingering effects from nagging injuries last season, coming off a groin surgery, and then after the end of the 2014 season, he had to have ankle surgery, and I'm sure that contributed to his numbers being lower than what you would usually expect from him. It's still too early to tell, but there's talk that he might not be ready for opening day. But one thing for certain is that when this guy is healthy, he is one of the best players in baseball. Last year, he batted 312, 25 home runs, 109 RBIs, and 101 runs scored. And that's an off year for him. So that's because we're used to seeing him hit 40-plus home runs and hitting close to 340. So you have to watch his progress in spring training. Like I mentioned, I don't think he should miss too much time, but don't be too surprised if maybe once he does get started, it might take him a little time to get things rolling and play like the Miguel Cabrera of old. He was always a number one and number two overall pick, right? Not just first round, but just number one or number two. So this season, with the uncertainty surrounding his injury, I think he drops down to at least a mid-first round pick, maybe a late first round pick, could even be a early second round. But watch him in the preseason and get your draft strategy straight based on what you see from him. So now we're going to check out our gold category. These guys are great. They've never been in my kitchen and are either second-year players or guys that had awesome years, but I'm just not comfortable in recommending them to you because I don't know if they're going to repeat, but they probably will. These are other guys that have had the occasional off year or maybe a bad month, but these are all guys in the gold category that personally I would definitely draft. So we start off with Jose Abreu. First baseman for the Chicago White Sox. What a rookie season for this guy, right? He had such a great first half, 29 home runs by the All-Star break. Then his power numbers tailed off. He had just 7 home runs after the All-Star break. But even though he suffered a bit of a power outage in the second half, he still batted 350, right, after the All-Star break. So he made up for it in that way. He was still fifth in the overall fly ball leaderboard, right? We talked about Paul Goldschmidt being number one. But basically, as the season wore on, Abreu became a more patient hitter, and he cut down on his strikeouts and started hitting the ball more to the opposite field. I mean, his batting average benefited, but his home run production didn't, right? So I would personally not second-guess this guy's abilities ever again. I was a little wary about, you know, drafting him last season, but I think he's worthy of being a second-round pick. He should perform just as well as he did last season. He's not one of my platinum guys because he's only been in the big leagues for one season. I just want to see him have a repeat year. And also, I'm just a little concerned about his drastic drop-off in home runs as the season wore on. But I think he could pencil him in for at least 30, right? Anthony Rizzo, great bounce back year last year after a very poor 2013 season, batted 286, 32 home runs and 78 RBIs last year. I'm a little disappointed in his RBI total, but his future is looking bright. I like to look at players' three-year averages whenever I can. And the only thing that bothers me about Rizzo, other than his low RBI totals, is that his three-year batting average is 238. So when you consider that the entire Major League roster had a cumulative batting average of 251 last year, that's a base point that you could use, right? Another little tip here. Then it might be a bit concerning. So, I mean, is the 286 more indicative? Is the 238 more indicative of what this guy's about? Maybe somewhere in the middle. Maybe he's a 265, 270 hitter, right? So he was generally picked up in the 8th to 10th rounds of last season drafts, but he's definitely moved up. And when I give you draft ranges, it depends on the size of your league. I'm talking about maybe a 10 to 12 team league when I give you my draft figures here. So my guess is that you can get him anywhere in the third to fifth round of your draft this season. Okay, next on our gold list for first baseman is Toronto first baseman Edwin Encarnacion. Pencil him in for a 275 average, 30 plus home runs and 100 plus RBIs. You may have to deal with an injury along the way, but for the most part, he's been a pretty reliable and steady hitter. When he gets hot, just watch out. Remember, his month of May, he had 16 home runs that month. He had an 18.2% home run to fly ball ratio last season. And to give you some context, a 15% ratio is considered great by the good folks at Fangraphs.com. Check out Fangraphs.com. They have some really great stats, really intricate stuff that you could look at. So check that out. Yo, Adrian! That's right. It's time to talk about Adrian Gonzalez. He's next on our list of gold caliber first basemen. Yo, Adrian, you did it. You had a very nice year. He batted 275. It was down a bit from his career averages, but he hit 27 home runs. That's the most he's hit since 2011, and he drove in 116 runs. His batting average on balls in play was 26 points lower than his career average, which indicates that he might have hit into a bit of bad luck, so that could explain why his average was down. I look for his batting average to go up, and he should still get you maybe 25 home runs and 100 RBIs. He's a consistent player who hardly ever spends any time on the disabled list, which is very, very important. Victor Martinez from Detroit, he's basically a designated hitter who plays enough first base to make him eligible to join my list of top first basemen. He had career highs in batting average. He batted 335. He had career high in home runs with 32 bombs last season. He's had some injury concerns over his career. Maybe last season he was playing for a contract, and that helped him to bear down and explain the spike in his numbers. But I think you could pencil him in for another 300 average year, another 20 to 25 home runs, and 90 to 100 RBIs. So as long as this guy's healthy, he's going to be productive. Just don't expect the same numbers as last year. Just look for a slight downturn. So if he can stay healthy, like I said, he should be a good add to your fantasy team. Freddie Freeman, first baseman for Atlanta. The only reason I rank him as low as I did is due to his suspect home run power. I think you could count on him for 20 to 25 home runs. Everyone on this list has been a perennial 30 home run guy. And like I said, you want to try to get some home runs out of your corner positions. Wham! A homer! Wham! Another homer! Wham! 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 What? Yeah, Bugs Bunny does like his home runs. Take it easy, Bugs, okay? Look, Freddie's just not that kind of guy. I mean, he had 18 home runs last season after hitting 6 in his first 88 at bat, so you thought he was going to have a really big home run year, but he really tailed off. He did hit 43 doubles, and he's still only 25 years old. If he could just turn 10 of those doubles into home runs, he could gain some more respectability amongst the fantasy first baseman and maybe get some respectability from Bugs Bunny also. He also led the league in hitting line drives with a rate of 31%, and line drives invariably lead to hits. And with a 287 three-season average, he helps you in other ways, not just the home run area. I still think that one day he might become a 30 home run guy. Last season, his average fly ball rate traveled 297 feet, which was up from 293 feet in 2013. So maybe there's a good sign there. And maybe as he matures, he could add some muscle on and then turn into a real legitimate home run threat. Wham! 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 What? Bugs, you got to lay off the caffeine. Chill out a bit, okay? All right, let's move on to our silver fantasy baseball candidates for first base, of course. Let's take a look at Albert Pujols, first baseman for the Angels. Now, when you look at his numbers last season, if you play in a roto league, you're very happy. He batted 272, 28 home runs, and 105 RBIs. He even scored 89 runs. For most players, you look at that stat line, you'd be very happy. But when I look at that, I kind of feel sorry for Pujols because I think back to what he used to be. You know, it's like congratulating him for finishing in fourth place, you know. Kind of like getting a ribbon that says, thanks for participating. I mean, Pujols is still only 34 years old, actually. But he's regressed so much that it's basically, to me, it's sad. I mean, he used to be so good that when you get, oh, I don't know, maybe 70% of his former production, it still ends up being very good, like his stat line from last season was. So I'd expect him to put up some similar numbers, and he should be available maybe 5th, 6th, 7th round in a 12-team league. You never know. But at least the 5th round, he should be there. Matt Adams, young first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. Back in 2013, he had a ridiculous 21.8% home run to fly ball ratio. And so much was expected from the 6'3", 260-pound first baseman. But his home run power just disappeared last season. I don't understand that. He finished the season with just 15 homers. He had a .288 batting average, but he really had a hard time against left-handed pitching again last season, batting just .190 with three home runs against southpaws. He batted .235 against lefties in 2013. So this is a recurring problem that he's definitely – it looks like it got worse, right? He went batted .190 last season compared to .235 in the season prior against lefties. He also faded in the second half each of the last two seasons. Last season batted just .235 after the All-Star break, and that's after posting a .231 average in the second half of .231. So you'd expect more pop out of him. He had been a good home run hitter in the minor leagues, and I'm considering him a silver fantasy first baseman based on his potential here. I think he's going to hit for average, maybe a .285 clip, but he needs to post some good numbers for an entire season, do a better job of hitting against lefties. He also needs to find his power bat. Last season, his average fly ball distance rate was 274 feet, which was down from 289 feet in 2013. That's pretty concerning to me. He barely made it as one of my silver first base candidates, and if I keep on analyzing his numbers, I'm going to move him to bronze. But hey, he's going to have to prove something to the living legend if he wants to remain a silver first baseman. We'll leave him for now, but he's still got to prove something to me going forward. They're back! I'm back! That's right, they're back, and these two guys are looking to make comebacks after injury-plagued 2014 seasons. Of course, I'm talking about Joey Votto. He had been a perennial late first-round pick, and then due to a downturn in his home run power in 2013, he moved down the ranks last season, and he was more of a middle to late second-round pick. He suffered through an injury-plagued year in 2014, like I had mentioned. He had a quad injury, which robbed him of his power and limited him so that he was only able to appear in 62 games. He's an interesting fantasy baseball figure. You know, he's probably not going to be drafted this season until the third or fourth round, maybe even a little later. He's a lock for a .300 batting average. The question is, how much of his power can he get back? My guess is that in a full season, he's still good for maybe 25, maybe 30 home runs, probably closer to the 25 mark. But he could end up being a draft day bargain for you. So watch him in spring training to see if there are any lingering effects from last season's injury. And now on to Prince. If you listen to the show, you had to know that was coming, right? I'm not talking about that Prince. I'm talking about Prince Fielder. Now, Fielder's statistics had been moving in the wrong direction for the past few years. You can't count last year because he only played in 42 games for the Rangers before having to go under the knife in order to treat a herniated disc in his neck. But his home run and RBI totals were down for 3 years in a row beginning in 2011. And last season, his first since being traded, to the Rangers. He hit just 3 home runs and 150 at-bats. I would be very wary about drafting him. You really need to watch him closely in spring training. You know, big guys seems to lose their skills rather quickly, and Fielder did have a very serious injury, very serious surgery, and you never know if he's going to be the same player after that kind of an episode. So buyer beware. He is probably going to be available in the 9th or 10th rounds of your draft. He's barely a silver. I'm doing it because basically of his career stats, but I respect him for his past accomplishments, and that's why he's a silver. But we're going to move over to the bronze level of first baseman, and Justin Morneau, he's almost – maybe he should have been a silver, but he's right on the cusp. He had a very good year last season for the Rockies. He might even deserve, like I said, to be a silver, but we'll keep him in the bronze for now. But with his injury history, that might keep him in the bronze category. He's no longer a 30 home run threat, but he can bat 280 for you and get you 18 to 20 home runs and 80 RBIs in that thin Colorado air. He's going to be available in the latter rounds of your draft. Craig Allen, first baseman, outfielder for the Red Sox now. He spent a lot of time, obviously, with the Cardinals. He's definitely a bounce-back candidate. He started off the year pathetically, and everyone was waiting for him to snap out of his funk. It never happened. The Cardinals traded him to the Sox, and his numbers got even worse, if you could believe it. He is a career 282 hitter, but he hit just 215 last season. He's capable of 20 home runs and 95 RBIs, but I wouldn't touch him until real late in your draft. Joe Mauer for the Twins. He's a former catcher extraordinaire, but injuries have decimated his career. In most leagues, he's only going to be eligible as a first baseman at this point. His power's gone, but he could still hit for average, but you expect more pop out of your first baseman. So, kills me to place Mark Teixeira in the bronze category, but he just is not the same ball player that he once was. He used to hit for average, club 30-plus home runs a year, driving over 100. But at this point, he's just basically a 250 to 260 hitter at best. And that says a lot because he batted just 215 last year, so I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He showed some flashes at times last season, but he wasn't able to sustain it. He's still experiencing some discomfort in his wrist and after missing most of 2013 with that injury. He's no more than a 20 to 25 home run guy. It's a shame, but he and the Yankees are no longer what they once were, and that's coming from a Yankee fan. Brandon Belt for the Giants, he is kind of a sleeper candidate, right? Started the season white hot. People tried trading him to me last year. Thank God I didn't pull the trigger. He was on pace to hit 30 home runs, but injuries derailed his season. He's a sleeper who might be worth a risk if you draft him real late. Maybe if he starts the season hot again, you draft him, but then you trade him in May, like they tried to do to me. But look, he's still just 26 years old, so he could still develop into something at this point. Lucas Duda. Duda all the day, right? First baseman for the Mets, had his first 30 home run season for the Mets at the age of 27, drove in 92 RBIs, batted 252. Just a tick over the major league average. He's someone to look at if you're looking at later rounds and all of a sudden you figure out that you don't have a first baseman, so or corner outfield infielder. You could take a chance on him, but definitely a bronze candidate and someone to pick up in the later rounds. Brandon Moss, available at first and outfield. The A's traded him to the Indians. He has another guy with 25 to 30 home run power, but his batting average is a little low. He might bat maybe 240 to 250 for you. When he's hot, you'll love him, but he really tailed off after the All-Star game last season, batting just 173, and he hit just 4 home runs, so beware of a possible second-half slump. Chris Davis, first baseman for the Orioles. Is he their new Brady Anderson? Davis hit 53 home runs in 2013 and then slumped all last season and was finally suspended for amphetamine use in September. Finished the season with 26 home runs and a 196 batting average. He should be available at third base in some of your leagues as well. So it gets pretty ugly from here, although some of these guys might be bounce-back candidates, right? Carlos Santana from Cleveland, eligible at third base as well as first base, batted 231 on the season, slumped for a long time, but by the end of the season he had accumulated 27 home runs and 85 RBIs, which is not too shabby. Billy Butler, he's now with the A's, been with the Royals for many years, mostly a DH, but was also a hitting machine for most of his career, man. He slumped for much of last year with the Royals, but he batted 23 points below his career average and hit just 9 home runs after being a 25 home run guy for his career. So maybe the change over to Oakland, even though it's not a great hitting park, but maybe it'll revitalize his career. Ryan Howard, first baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies. Hate to say it, but he's a has-been, right? Eric Hosmer, a first baseman for the Royals. He's basically a never was at this point, but he's young enough to turn his career around. He's got lots of talents. I'm just tired of waiting for him to come around. I mean, he had 9 home runs last year. I mean, he's a guy with 20 home run potential. He's just, you know, just not getting it done. So honorable mentions, Buster Posey and Todd Frazier, and in some leagues, maybe a Jonathan LaCroix. These are guys that are eligible at first base. For Posey and LaCroix, they also obviously play catcher, so I'm going to be talking about them during the catcher segment. And Todd Frazier, he's eligible at third base, and he had such a great breakout year last year, but with the thinness at the third base position, I'm going to wait to talk about him as the third base guy. If I were to put them at first base, they definitely reach the silver category. So keep in mind for those guys, if you're really looking for first base help, they are available. Okay, well, that is going to slam the lid on things for today. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Gallina. That's at JoeGallina. Let me know what you think of the show. Like I said, especially if you hate it, I want to know about it. I hope you enjoyed our in-depth analysis of the fantasy first baseman. Next week, we're going to examine what you can expect from the second base position. And, I'd like to thank our guests this week. Thanks to Terry Cashman, Herman Munster, Bugs Bunny, Bud Abbott, Ace Frehley, Prince. He's Prince again, right? Right. Hope I didn't miss anybody. And I would especially like to thank you for listening. Remember to keep moving straight ahead, and all of your fantasies will become realities. Have a great week.